I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Man and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
It was a defensive exercise.
Yeah, best defense is a good offense. Or is it the other way around?
Welcome to Prattleworld. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan, and in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. Welcome back, guys. You are here for another edition of Secret Defenders, where I get guests on to defend their underappreciated, forgotten, overlooked films that they love that the mainstream audience just don't. So today we have Mr. George Hutchinson here to defend a film that he made me watch, which featured dead naked ladies. Beautiful dead naked ladies. He made me watch it with a gun to my head. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. So we're going to be talking about The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Welcome, George.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling magnificent.
Magnificent. Good word. Good word. So, first of all, before we get into your film and why you picked it and why we are watching it, let's talk a little bit about our relationship.
Yes.
Not sexual in nature.
I mean, come on.
Give it time. Give it time.
Yeah.
My body is ready. So let's, before we get into the whole your whole necrophilia thing, just kidding. He's not a necrophile. No, let's just talk about how do we know each other, George?
Well, a couple of years back. I can't remember the exact
year. It is a couple of years now. It's been quite a while since we did that thing.
Let's just refer to it as that thing. Feel that worse. Everyone will be like, is this a sexual thing? A couple of years back, we starred in the fan film Batman the Shattered Cowl together, where I played Bruce Wayne and Dan carried me through most of our scenes.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, a couple of times, actually. And Dan played Alfred.
I did. It was kind of a... Because it was kind of a little bit Gotham inspired, wasn't it? Like the TV show. So everything was skewed a bit bit younger.
Yeah, I had a baby face.
You have a baby face. I played a kind of Jason Statham-esque Alfred. He was a bit more like MI5, kind of like... He was like a proper geezer. He's a proper Courtney geezer. It was kind of interesting to do. Yeah, it was a fan film. Like, I always wanted to be in a comic book movie, so why not? Why not do that? We had fun filming it. It didn't come out as well as we hoped, which is kind of, I think it was down to the kind of social media aspect of it, and that we had set dates, release dates and things, and they just didn't. And then there was a lot of other things kind of happened, like robberies and computers shutting down and various other things. And then it was like, oh, and it was kind of hastily edited, hastily put together. And it didn't come out as well. Tell us more about it, to be honest, because I'm taking over a bit too much.
Well, I like I said, I played Bruce Wayne, Batman, not just like young Bruce Wayne.
No, you were Batman as well.
This is an audio medium, so you can't really tell from my young boy face.
No, he's got a very elderly voice, as you can tell. So
really,
no. God, no.
Who's this?
Who's this fellow?
I never sort of thought of myself as a Batman or a Bruce Wayne.
No,
but the opportunity came along. I auditioned for it. I didn't really think I'd get it.
Yeah,
but I did, and then I wasn't very good.
I will say this: that I was probably you guys are quite young, aren't you? You're in your at least early. You know, late teens to early 20s at the very least. So, and I was coming in, I must have been, what, 28? Maybe 28, 29, I guess.
You were
I didn't. No, it's a birth. I had my birthday. Yep, yeah, birthday, you guys. Yeah. Yeah, we were filming on my birthday, and then I remember I remember my phone died. I got lost wherever we were filming.
It was at an airsoft.
That was it. Yeah, it was like it was kind of a paintball esque place, and I remember like my phone died. I went into a Subway and I went, I'm really sorry, but can I charge my phone because I've got to be at this filming? And they were like, okay. I charged it and I got kind of enough to kind of get the kind of. What's the word? The postcode. And then I was like, I just jumped in a cab and went, I've got to go here. And then I went all the way up these stairs because I was like, it's got to be this place, surely. Because it's like everywhere else is a house. And I got up there. But we didn't even end up filming. I was kind of a bit like, after all this, I've walked all this way, did all this, made the effort.
Yeah. If you look, Batman wears about 3 different pairs of trainers.
Yes, Converse.
It was Converse, there was a pair of skate shoes, and there was just some Adidas. In the big fight scene, you can see a pair of red shoes and then a pair of green shoes because we shot it
in daylight as well, and then there was a filter put on it.
All corrected. Yeah.
So guys, if you want to see, and it's far too long for a fan film as well. It's like half an hour, it's just far too long. And what I was saying earlier was that I've trained, I've studied, I've been to uni, I've acted professionally, I'm not showing off at all. I have some experience. You guys were quite, new at the kind of this whole thing. So, but it was really ambitious. And I like the ambition, I like the passion. That's what got me behind the project. But my favorite thing, and please, if you've got half an hour spare of your life and you don't mind abject pain and torture, you should watch Batman the Shattered Cowl on YouTube. You can find it.
I think more than that, you should definitely watch the bloopers.
The bloopers
really reflect how like much fun we did have.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I remember that day when was it your sister was talking about Matilda, the actress from Matilda? She came out as being gay, I think, and we were talking about Matilda. I was like, oh god, I hated that film. My sister used to play it day in, day out. Every time we got home from school, she would always put it on, and I was always like, I did a little dance, and then every time we messed up a kind of line or a scene or a shot, we'd always go a lot of waggling fingers.
Well, if I cock up at any point, I'll just use that.
Yeah, if you run out of things to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Go fuck. Nice. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I just put.
I'm sorry, Mum.
I'm quite explicit myself. So I even on my days where I'm like, I don't think I'll swear too much. I'll be like, oh, you fucking prick. Even on these.
I always drop in on objects. I'm like, fucking dick.
You're like behind. Yeah. They don't have. It's better to be angry at an inanimate object than yourself, I think.
Yeah.
Target that anger towards not a person, but an inanimate object is fine. Yeah, of course.
It's like with bullies, they're just picking on themselves. That's the whole thing with them.
You know what?
I call my phone a dick because I hate myself.
Yes. Fair enough.
That's a bit deep.
You're quite I've seen your face where you post a lot about these kind of crippling, depressing memes, don't you? You're all about that.
I do a good balance. Sometimes it's really wholesome, sometimes it isn't.
Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense at all. The ones that I've seen, I'm just like, what the fuck has that got to do with anything? But I think one of my favourite things about going back to Batman the Shattered Cowl, one of my favourite things was just literally reading the YouTube comments. I went out with my friend and we sat one night just scrolling through the YouTube comments, and we were just crying with laughter. I think, what was your favourite one?
I always remember one. I remember his username as well. And Jack replied to it, Jack Roberts, who worked on the film with us. And a guy commented, I can't remember what he commented, but I remember his name was Plastic Bastard. And he reviews, and he reviewed like toys online, but then he was calling us all sad bastards and everything. And Jack just replied saying, You review toys on YouTube, and he wasn't like a big YouTuber with it either.
No,
it was just... He was about as successful as we were at making a Batman film,
which wasn't very.
Yeah. let's see your blue.
Some of my favourites were shit acting, shit.
Shit acting, shit direction, shit costume, shit acting.
You just wanted to hammer it home.
Oh, no, really. Shit the acting one. I think I got, to be honest, out of all the kind of horrible things, I think you got it the worst. You were like,
yeah.
You got it like...
Didn't
they say you're like a crackhead or something?
Yeah. There is like a funny... I don't like to make excuses, but during, I'd say about like... When we did a bulk of our filming, because it'd be like... We'll do 2 or 3 days at a time and then not see each other for 6 months.
Yeah.
I remember in those 2 or 3 days, I was in the midst of just not sleeping.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was. It was like my second year of college.
Like Batman, you know, he does the micro sleep so he can, you know, fight crime.
Except I bet he doesn't like nearly have a panic attack leaving the house from lack of sleep.
If he sees too many bats, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just into character. No, but I hadn't slept for like 7 days straight. And I remember just like being zoned out for a lot of the filming. And I thought, it might not show. Absolutely shows.
The camera like, is brutal in its honesty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I look beautiful, but I look tired.
Pale, dark haired. You know, that's how I expect Batman to look. Yeah. You know, and then wearing trainers. I think my other favourite one was, my other favourite YouTube comment was, this must be the DC universe where the tripod was never invented.
That was my
top favourite. Anyway, I think we've chatted enough about terrible fan films we've been in. You know, all praise to the people that worked on it. We all worked on it and we worked very hard, but it wasn't exactly, you know... Oscar worthy.
I would happily like work with
all those guys again. Yeah,
I'd say 90%.
90%. Okay. All right. No names mentioned. But let's get on to the film that you have brought to my attention and to the rest of the world, if they don't know about it, The Autopsy of Jane Doe. So, what is the plot of The Autopsy of Jane Doe?
So it is about a father-son duo of coroners. Who delivered a body one day? It is a.
They gave birth to a body.
Yeah, they pulled it out. What's going on here?
They're like Hermes or DPD. They're just like they delivered it. Hello.
That'd be a great film. The corpse gives birth, and they've got to raise it.
The postman delivering dead bodies to.
No, they brought a body in by the chief of police, and it's at a crime scene where it shouldn't belong, and. I don't need to mention this. She's naked at the crime scene.
She's naked throughout. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been over this.
If you're uncomfortable by naked women, grow up. But also, be careful.
It's naked dead woman.
Yeah,
as well.
That's the weirdest bit. You don't want your dad walking in while you're watching it.
Maybe not. No. I mean, if you're wanking while doing that, I definitely wouldn't have him walking.
Oh, that reminds me. I need to get bolt locks. Anyway.
George, it isn't into dead women. I'm joking. Carry on.
No, I'm all about the dudes.
The dead dudes.
Where's the My John Doe at?
That'll be the spin-off. That's like, where's our White Panther? That's going to be those guys. Like, where's my John Doe film? Where's the Autopsy of John Doe?
Where's my...
Or the Toxic...
What, you mean every superhero movie? Just go pick one.
Yeah, everybody is white. Everybody is male.
Even the green guy's white.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So go on. Let's go back to the plot. Yeah. So the coroners are delivered. They're given this body to examine.
And as people may know, when a body is unknown, they call it Jane Doe. Hence the name, The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Very good.
And they begin to notice things wrong with the body that aren't reflected on the outside. So when she arrives, she doesn't have any external marks.
No, she's kind of pristine.
Yeah.
Kind of very pale. There's no bruising. There's no damage.
Yeah.
She's just dead. Even
they find her in dirt and she's still like weirdly clean.
Yeah.
So like that's a weird...
She's kind of half buried, isn't she, in this house where all the other people are dead. Okay. Yes. Do you think that sums up the plot, or without spoilers?
Weird things happen as they uncover.
Yeah. So they uncover more and more. Okay. So when and where did you discover this film? You know, I know it's not very old, but
yeah. Well,
when did it come to your attention?
Well, I've always seen it like on Netflix and everything, but it seemed like one of those films where, oh, it's just a Netflix film that you could gloss over and not really bother with.
Yeah, kind of generic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was on a bit of a horror craze for a couple of weeks, so I just like spam my way through them. And
what, every horror film on Netflix?
No, in existence. I've done it. I've finished the horror films. It's fine.
And which one was the best? This one. This one.
Shining.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Without a doubt, Shining.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like at 2 a.m. and I thought I might as well give it a watch. It was the worst mistake of my life to watch it at 2 a.m.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't recommend that either for anybody. No,
yeah, like, and your like seat is right up near this. You're right in face.
Yeah, my layout in my flat is that I have a small kind of one man sofa and it's pretty much directly in front of the television. So I would be immersed in that situation.
I was 8 feet away from that and it's still terrifying. Yeah, it's hard to watch horror films late, early in the morning without all your family hearing. Because I'm just like, shit.
Same with pornography as well. I mean, but yeah, so it was kind of, so you're kind of scrolling through Netflix and you kind of just went, I'll give this a chance.
And I've seen it on like top 10 lists. Well, even on top 10, I've seen it in the thumbnail of top 10 lists. It was like top 10 underrated horror movies.
Okay.
I'm never going to watch that.
To be fair, those are some good lists. You know, like I do the same when I'm looking for kind of, you know, cult films or like underrated stuff, overlooked stuff. That's what I've been doing for the last, I don't know, since I've started this, since November. I think that's pretty standard fare. I think that's what, like, it used to be like when I was a boy, you know, you would discover things in like a music shop or a DVD shop. You kind of just pull things at HMV as well. Like HMV, you kind of just, I didn't do so much with music, but I definitely did it with films. I would literally go into HMV, I would buy a group of DVDs and I'd go, well, I hated that. Return it. Oh, yeah, my mum bought it for my birthday. So, yeah, just have it back. Yeah. Like one watch and what have you. And they're like, yeah, okay, fair enough. And then I'd just check. And then I'd get another film until I found one that I really liked and wanted to keep.
I'd always do like charity shop VHSs. I'm not that young, by the way, Dan.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I remember VHSs still.
Back in my day, VHS. So, good old VHS. I didn't actually buy that many VHS myself. I think when I was a kid, like my parents were, I think when DVDs came along, that's when I was like, right,
DVD. And my mum got rid of like all my videos, but the problem was
she was like, that format is dead.
Yeah, well, we did. Straight away, no hesitation, we had like Hellboy,
burn it,
like three other like videos, and yes, Hellboy's like great and everything. But, you know, I miss Scooby-Doo on VHS, all my Harry Potter films, and she just threw them all out. Didn't even have them on DVD.
No.
Anyway, enough.
So tell me the reasons why you love this film. Why have you chosen this one out of all the films you could have chosen?
Well, with this film, like, it is an underrated one because it's just kind of been shoved on Netflix. When it was released as well, it didn't really get a lot of attention
that
I think it should have. And, like, honest to God, it is one of the best horror films I've ever watched. Like, the...
Well, I'll tell you what I like about it. He's getting his notebook out. He's getting the notes out. Don't worry. I'll tell you what I like about it. I do like the kind of the science behind it and the
beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the kind of the begin and they start investigating this, you know, this Jane Doe's body, and they're finding more and more things which shouldn't have happened or should show on the outside of her body, or, you know, the scarring around her heart where they're like, how the fuck has someone done this without cutting into her and various other scars and things. I really found that interesting. So the science behind it was actually really, really fascinating. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I started to think, I was like, how is this done? How is this possible? How have they, you know, I started coming up with all the different variations of what, you know, she could be, or how she could be this, or how this could happen. Is it like, I don't know.
Did you guess it? We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Like,
did you guess it?
No, I didn't. I thought something else, but I did. I liked where it went.
Yeah.
But carry on. What are the reasons that you love it?
No, yeah. Well, like you said, the medical accuracy of it, but also because it has supernatural elements in, it's sort of allowed to be like when something out of the ordinary happens, they're allowed to explain it away with that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like a cop out.
No, no.
Yeah, like for example, a fly just comes out of her nose.
Yeah.
At first, and they're a bit like, oh, well.
Well, they don't really say anything. Yeah. About that. They're kind of just a passing like. There was a fly in there. She's, you know, maybe she's rotting on the inside. Maggots. Yeah. Who knows? You know, because they've not fully finished the examination by that.
Yeah.
Point.
And then they cut her open. She starts bleeding, and like the music cues in it as well. Like, Jesus, terrifying. Like
they're quite like that. They know how to use the music. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays it is quite generic of the fast violin throughout the sequence, but like it's. Very like visceral, and a lot of the gore comes from that. Is the actual autopsy of Jane Doe?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, it's interesting to see. I mean, we see a few of the bodies as well in the this, and they kind of they're finishing off an examination before Jane Doe arrives. But yeah, it kind of reminds me a lot of kind of CSI and that sort of those kind of investigative kind of things where they're pulling out kind of details. Also, reminded me a little bit of Reanimator. I don't know if you've seen that. It's a kind of this cult horror comedy, black comedy thing, which, and again, in this kind of dealing with the dead people, they're trying to raise the dead, basically, come up with a kind of a liquid to raise the dead. It's up there, for me, it's up there with like Evil Dead 2 in kind of horror comedy and kind of gore and splatter. Yeah. There's a scene where a severed head goes down on a naked woman. So that's got my vote clearly. But yeah, this is nothing like it really. Tonally, yeah, tonally is completely different. But it was the coroner aspect to me and the cutting open of dead bodies and the kind of inspecting of bodies.
I really like sort of the restraint that they show because any other film, it seems like they would just have it like, oh, after they cut into a. They start seeing her around the morgue and like about
so like you're saying that the supernatural element it doesn't come in straight away. It's probably like I don't know, probably like 45 minutes at least before I think you can really like 100% get a supernatural element in it.
It like the first 45 minutes, it doesn't feel like it drags or anything. Like there's a lot of establishing through it.
You mean you establish a relationship between the father and the son? There's the girlfriend as well, and the cop, and you know it's quite interesting. Like to be fair, like it's a bit weird having a morgue, and a coroner working out of his house. I thought that was like, pardon me, a bit creepy and weird.
Yeah,
like,
maybe American thing.
Yeah, maybe I don't know.
Yeah,
but saving money, I guess.
Mm.
But it was. I found it interesting, but it gave it like. I like films that are like kind of bottlenecks anyway, you know, like where you...
Like a self-contained part of...
Like nobody leaves that room, nobody leaves that place. Yeah. So kind of like 12 Angry Men, like nobody leaves the room in 12 Angry Men until they get a verdict. They have to stay. And like nobody likes each other. But I really like those type of films because the tension is always kind of quite palpable.
Yeah.
I mean, with this, it's not necessarily, there's not that much tension between the father and the son.
Yeah.
It's more Jane Doe and her relationship with the other two, isn't it?
Yeah. And they do explore a lot of like father-son relationship with that, but... I think like the actors are really good.
Yeah,
like,
it's Brian Cox and Emile Hirsch, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're both very. I mean, Brian Cox is one of my favorite actors.
Yeah,
he's in X-Men 2, Manhunter.
And that's by the way, I will refer to them both as Stryker and Speed Racer throughout the podcast.
Stryker and Speed Racer. Yeah,
I'm aware their names are. Is it? It's Tommy. It's
Tommy
Tilden. Austin Tilden. I'm aware of the names.
Yeah,
I know
the characters' names. You know them better than me. But yeah, so Stryker is the name of his character, Brian Cox's character in X-Men 2. And Speed Racer, Emma Hirsch played Speed Racer in the film Speed Racer, which I still haven't seen, but it's definitely on the list.
I haven't, but I'm just. That's what
but I know. I know he's Speed Racer at the very least.
Yeah.
But no, I think they're very. I think Emma Hirsch is probably is quite underrated, actually. I think Brian Cox is a kind of classic, you know, brilliant actor anyway. But I think Emile Hirsch is a good talent, is a really good talent. I do confuse him with the guy, I think it's Taylor Kitsch. I think he's the guy who played Gambit. And I think they were both in Lone Survivor together. And I was kind of like, cast somebody who doesn't look exactly like the other guy. Don't, you know, I can't tell them apart. But anyway. So, do you have a favorite moment? Like, not necessarily too spoilery, but
yeah. without getting too too spoilery,
we could do a spoiler. Do you want to do a kind of spoilers thing now? We can say spoilers from now on in.
Let's do it.
So spoilers. Here come the spoilers.
So there's a song throughout the film called "Open Up Your Heart." If you watch this film and hear that song anywhere, you will have a heart attack. It is the creepy song, and they start to play it whenever Jane Doe starts to, you know, become active. Basically, well, I say active. She just sits there.
I mean, she's still dead. Yeah. She's not really alive.
But everything else that's happening,
she's not. You know, she's not dancing the merengue or anything like that.
you can't dance to the song. It's a strange beat.
Yes.
So the song plays throughout, and that kind of keys you in to whenever there's, you know, something's occurring. And I think the very, like, my absolute favorite part is towards the end when the sheriff is removing, removing a branch that's fallen on top of the door so they can't get out of the coroner's. And he's just saying, open it up. Yeah. And he starts singing the fucking song. And I am very, there's a few films where I've watched it where you get that pit in your stomach where you're like, no, absolutely not this. Anything but this.
No.
And it was terrifying. Like, it was terrifying. And also,
because it's kind of like you're...
Yeah.
He's safe. Yeah. He's fine. Everything's fine. It's going to be cool. He's made it. He's the survivor. Mm. No, he isn't.
Yeah. It's the repetition of it. It's just that it keeps coming up. That as well as the bell scene.
I think I'm aware.
Yeah, towards the beginning of the film, Speed Racer's girlfriend wants to see a body.
Speed Racer sounds like a drug dealer, doesn't it?
He'll get to you quick, though.
Yeah. He gets an Uber.
And she wants to see a dead body, and they reveal one. And I find it strange that
she's got a weird kink, I guess.
Yeah. She should have come on down.
I'll lie still and dead for you. Go on.
Is that what you meant to do?
depends on the woman, I think.
But she wants to see a body, and one of them has a bell tied around the wrist because, and Stryker explains, back when they couldn't tell a comatose person from an alive person. They'd put a bell on the wrist so you could tell. And he does it to kind of fuck around with her a little.
He says he's quite the traditionalist, I think, or something like that.
And I found it straight. He just did it with the one. But I like that bit a lot because of the foreshadowing of it.
Yeah.
Because of reason. I don't mind tiptoeing around.
Yeah. No, if we've done spoilers. Like, yeah, you can say it. Okay. No, don't worry. You can talk about whatever you want now. We've made people aware. Yeah. It's an audio, you know, if we were like doing a spoilers symbol, waving the hands.
Yeah, I'll leave my, the ending bit towards why.
Underrated. Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those are kind of your favorite moments. Those kind of more chilling moments.
There's like just little bits of horror sprinkled throughout, and it's always sort of amping up the tension. There is a lot of the, you know, like someone jumps up to someone and then there's a bomb,
that kind of thing.
But, no, like the genuine terror is in
kind of,
the heart.
The kind of the stopping of the violin, like that.
It has a shot at the start where you can see it's, what are those mirror things? You know, they're in like hospitals.
And, yeah, the kind of ones in the corner. Yeah, the ones in the corner of the room. I think they're kind of a surveillance kind of thing, aren't they? You kind of look at them and you can see.
Yeah, around
almost the corner. Kind of a telescopic.
Yeah, you can see around the corner of the other corridor, and Speed Racer at one point is stood, he looks at it and he sees someone in the hallway, and as he creeps around to check, I shit myself. Like, even though you don't see it, there's no one there, but no, it's
like a shadow. There's like a shadowy figure, isn't there? Yeah. But then he double takes and goes, what? And looks at it. But that's very kind of early on in the kind of supernatural stuff occurring via Jane Doe. But I mean, there's not many characters. I want to ask about a favourite character or a favourite, you know, person in it. I know there's not many.
Yeah.
So who would you say would be your favourite character in it?
Corpse with a gunshot in this face.
Okay, right. Yeah.
The sheriff who says at the beginning, looks like we got a Jane Doe because we love a name drop.
Yeah, boom.
No, but the two main characters, they're the ones. Really believe them as father and son.
Yeah.
And the dad had gone through, he lost his wife.
Yeah, did he state how, because I think I might have missed that a little bit, but did he state how he lost his wife? Or
does, I believe it might have been a suicide.
Okay.
Because he says how, I should have known about all the pain that she was carrying with her. And it is, like, it's genuinely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because, he doesn't really share a lot with his son. No. But they aren't distant.
No, it's not, because they're working constantly together. They're not distant.
And they get along. But yeah. There's definitely like a thing there.
It's probably just they don't really share, I think. Yeah. It's they don't really have a kind of... not really kind of emotionally open with each other, are they? I think that's what it is. I think they don't. Again, there's no animosity. There's no anger towards each other. It's just
There's not like a bit in the film where... Like there's one... moment where he's like, oh, come on, you need to focus. But he's just like, hey, stop pissing about.
Yeah, that's it's like, you've got to take this seriously. It's a serious job, it's very, he takes it very serious because that is his life. And he respects the people that he's working on as well. He's not like, he has a job to do, but he's not like, slash, 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 cut them all open, bap, bap, bap.
Yeah.
You know?
And I like that as well. Like a lot of times in films and TV when they'll show a coroner, they'll either be like a weirdo or they're just someone who's so desensitized to the job, like they'll sit there and eat while there's a dead body right in front of them.
Yeah.
Speed Racer, he tells his girlfriend earlier on, she says, how do you get used to that? And he says, you kind of do and you kind of don't.
Yeah.
And that seems like a real answer. It's not like a put on, like, oh, it's nothing,
It's like, oh, you've got to desensitize yourself. Yeah, I think it's the approach in a very realistic way. Like, it's not as, it's a job's a job. It's mundane, but then, obviously it's dealing with, corpses, dead people, and the grim. Yeah. It's very grim and very, it's macabre, isn't it? It's quite macabre, the whole idea. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of people that there's some coroners that are kind of like hyper intelligent. They're like, and those kind of, NCIS, those kind of, CSI programs. We see a lot of that. Or then we see them absolutely batshit crazy and something like Reanimator or something like that. But no, I think it was a very realistic kind of portrayal of a job and the kind of, the response to those kind of darker, parts of life or death as well.
And they still have fun with it. Like I said earlier, with the little bell thing.
But... I love the little country rock soundtrack they had on the radio. I thought that was great.
If you have to cut up a body, a bit of country rock.
Yeah, country rock was great. I was like, I'm all right. I'm kind of into this.
The soundtrack overall is just really good.
Yeah. I don't know about the camera thing, because they're playing music and then they're talking to each other. For me, if there was a camera on them, they'd have to keep going to the camera, explaining things to the camera, working with the camera. But they seem to just have whispered conversations in one corner, and I'm like, the camera's not going to pick that up. And then the camera falls over and burns and stuff in one sequence.
Ah, but it does.
Yes. Does it?
Anyway,
but yeah. So like, there's certain aspects. I mean, I don't think it's a perfect movie. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think there is such a thing as a perfect movie. But I think it's a very.
You haven't watched Batman the Shadow Cow.
Yeah, clearly, I need to see that again. I've showed everybody I need to show that. If people want to go out and watch the Batman the Shattered Cowl, it's on YouTube. Have fun. Go see that.
Covering it next.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So that'll be the next one we watch. I think it's good, and I think there's moments in it which I really like. There's the practical effects I really appreciate. There's a lot of kind of practical makeup and practical. Practical makeup, I think, is just it. Even with the cat as well, the poor cat.
Aww.
If you don't like cats dying, or being injured, if you're an animal lover, I probably wouldn't watch this film.
I won't lie. So they find their cat in an air vent and he's badly injured. To relieve him from his pain, Stryker breaks his neck. However, I thought the cat was dead already. I didn't realize.
Right.
First watching it, I didn't realize the cat was alive and suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was watching it, and all of a sudden, he just fucking breaks the cat's neck.
He does. He does.
It was, but without the context of, oh, it's in pain.
Yeah.
I just thought, this guy's fucking crazy. Yeah. I just couldn't get a pin on him at first.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think, obviously, it's like he deals with death all the time. And even when it's something like that, he was, you know, he realizes what he needs to do. And unfortunately, and he even says to his son, he's like, I need a minute. Just, you know, go out and do what you need to do. Later on, doesn't give his son a minute. When he accidentally kills his son's girlfriend with an axe. That's
just killing cats and girlfriends. Yeah.
He's like, I'm a mortician. Yeah. I'm a coroner. It's fine.
I'm surprised he didn't take an axe to Jane.
What's the difference between a mortician and a coroner? That would be.
I don't know. Is that a setup for it, though?
I don't know. I wish it was. If anyone wants to write in and tell us what the difference is between people that, you know, an undertaker, is that the same thing? I think that's more religious, isn't it? It's more of a religious
slant. We're not talking about wrestling.
No. Kane! The dead man. Well, there's a lot of dead people in this. So one of my next question is kind of in your IMDb knowledge of behind the scenes kind of stuff. That's the best place to research. Yeah. You know, that and Wikipedia probably, and maybe the old article here.
Well,
and
I'm
there.
Sure it's on Mr. Skin.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh my god, the whole film's on Mr. Skin, I'm sure. But yes.
50 minutes.
God. Not even that. Not even like literally 2 minutes in. You see,
nothing but respect to the actress in the film.
I will say. I'll tell you what my favorite kind of fact, my behind the scenes fact was, before we get to yours, was that the actress is almost there the entire time. Like she's. Like they didn't want to use just a, you know, apart from certain scenes, they wanted to use the actress because they wanted to connect the actress and the human qualities of the actress to the scenario, to the film and everything. I think that really does help the film. It does sell it. And
it's difficult, like, to do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, when acting, if someone's like, do nothing, you can't just sit there. You
shuffle, you'll move, you'll breathe. And she does an amazing job of just being so still and so. But there's emotion to it. And there's like, you know, the more they kind of slowly kind of pull her apart and stuff, you do feel for her. And then, you know, and later on we realize that, you know, she is alive, you know, and she is feeling everything that's happening to her.
Puts everything that you've watched into context.
Exactly,
you just think back to like, oh,
all
God.
The scarring and all the different
but not
injuries.
Just that, like them cutting her open and like breaking her ribs.
Yeah.
Just like, God, she's sat there and can't.
Yeah, she can't say or do anything. She just has to experience it. And I think that kind of has, there's a little bit of kind of, I feel, a kind of you know, Time's Up, Me Too kind of, there's a parallel in there that the kind of the woman is having to go through such trauma and such awful stuff at the hands of these men who, well, you know, in most cases men know, you know, in real life, you know, men know what they're doing. In this scenario they don't, but you know, at the end they feel horrible for what they've done, they feel bad for what they've done. It's for me, and I think my favorite behind the scenes fact was that they used her, like, not, you know, the actress makes that performance, and apparently, you know, she was there and she, you know, she played along and she made, because, you know, being on set, and if someone is, you know, in a very vulnerable position like she is, she's totally naked, you know, and she made everybody feel at ease, apparently. And she probably gives the best performance in the film, because it's the hardest performance to give. But the fact that she's made people, the other actors, easy and relaxed, and they were able to do their job and do what they need to do in the scene, I think that's tremendous. That's tremendous talent, and she really should be applauded for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I checked her IMDb, and she's not been in many things.
No.
It was like this and then something else.
Yeah.
But like, she's really like great in it. My little behind the scenes fact is that she was actually very trained in yoga, which helped sort of control her breathing and appear to be very
strong. Ah, okay. That's good.
Yeah. But also, as we said earlier, she's basically clean, like completely clean.
Yeah.
And that was done intentionally, but yeah. if you're watching the film, you can actually see like the soles of her feet are a little bit dirty as she's walked around.
Yeah, of course. She's walked off and got like a coffee.
Yeah.
That's fine. I kind of understand that. I don't mind that. Yeah. You know,
I wonder if there are bloopers for that film. I want to watch that. Oh no, she's fallen off the table.
Oh God. So why do you feel like this film doesn't have, people aren't that aware of this film, that people, you know, or people don't like it, or that people, because I mean, I put it on Facebook yesterday, and the response I had was overwhelmingly negative.
Well, that's it. I'm not going to lie. When I saw the response was negative, well, there's me to prove my point.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's the whole point of this.
You didn't hinder me. No, exactly.
So a lot of them are saying it's kind of the twist, or it became very... I think a lot of them were saying that the end, or it becomes quite generic, or, you know, the supernatural element comes in and the various twists, if you will. I won't even call them twists, really, because it's all set up quite early on.
Yeah. Like you're expecting to find out what happens.
Because I was like, well, she's not human, or there's something amiss. There's something like no human body should have all these marks and all these things without anything to show for it. Like, I think the first thing they find is shattered ankles and shattered wrists.
Yeah.
Like broken. And they're like, but we can't, there's no bruising, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I knew that was coming. I knew there's going to be some sort of supernatural element. I didn't know what. I guessed that she might be a vampire or a zombie or some sort of kind of other being. I thought she might wake up, actually. All of a sudden be like, you know, like just.
I thought the very last scare of the film, which was Papa Tilden, otherwise Papa Stryker.
Yeah.
And young lad speed racer. He basically bargains with Jane Doe, and he says, you know, let me, you know, just don't hurt my kid.
Yeah, I'll take that kind of pain.
Take
stuff.
Pain or whatever. And I believe that is what Jane Doe was after. She was after somebody else feeling that pain.
Yeah.
And as she heals, I thought, oh, it's going to lead to her standing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And like just leaving the morgue.
Yeah.
But, his son ends up killing him, which I believe got him killed.
Right.
Because his dad didn't finish the suffering,
right,
from what it seemed.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he had a few things going on, but then...
Yeah, he should have died entirely from the suffering.
Yeah, because it gets to a... Like, she heals, and then up to a point, and then he kills him.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. So she kind of... He kind of ends that contract between the two of them.
Yeah, he's the last scare of the film, and I really thought it was going to be Jane.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very happy it wasn't. You don't see her move. You do see... you know.
Does her... I think right in the end, she's been... The sheriff's like, get her out of my couch.
As much as I say I love this film, I've watched it many a time, I only noticed this today.
Yeah.
But rewatching it right at the very end, her toe twitches.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
And you hear the bell.
Yeah.
And I've rewatched it many times.
Yeah.
It scared me again. It was nice.
Yeah, it was. Her eyes are grey. I think they make they say that her eyes are grey. They make a thing about her, and then it kind of clear up, don't they, before her toe twitches, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that kind of creepy tune, it reminded me a little bit. Is it Insidious, or is it? It's like tiptoe through the tulips. Yeah, that it reminded me a little bit of that. They had this old like children. I mean. Children are inherently creepy.
I think
any kids, like the kid, you know, nursery rhymes and various other things, they're inherently creepy.
Anything
you can just slow down. Think of any creepy kid. Like you can look at The Shining. You can look at The Grudge. You can look at, you know, you can look through the whole slate of kind of horror cinema. You know, and there's creepy kids. There's always creepy kids. Don't Look Now, that sort of thing. You know, even if they're not necessarily kids, there's the kind of these kind of innocent, very innocent things turned absolutely on their heads. And I think I always kind of, that's one of the things that I find really eerie is like creepy children.
Yeah.
Or things that should
creepy
be really,
songs.
Yeah, creepy songs, creepy. I think anything that's supposed to be innocent and like, you know, I work at John Lewis And at the moment...
Okay, that's not brag.
Yeah, that's not brag. I'm not bragging, shouldn't I? But I work at John Lewis. I work at the call centre at John Lewis currently. And when I'm put on... I sometimes have to talk to John Lewis, the one of the other departments. And they put
I thought you meant the main guy.
No, all right, John. John,
Mr. Lewis.
Oh, I've got to do a refund, John. Can I do a refund? Yeah, sure. No, not Mr. Lewis. No. And they put me through. And they put me on hold sometimes, the other people I'm talking to who work at John Lewis.
Worst songs to have.
Yeah, it's awful. What? Like the John Lewis tune is just creepy as, like, you know, and you, the more I listen to it, the more creepy it gets. It's just horrendous. It's quite a nice, you know, tune. But the more you hear it, the more like ominous and creepy it gets.
The more sinister thing you get.
It's when you hear it kind of like once in a while, it's not so bad. But the fact that I'm hearing it day in, day out for extended periods of time, the creepier and more menacing it gets. I think that was a good addition to the story. So I'm just going to talk about a little bit from my angle and what kind of things that I picked up on and kind of. Have you seen Nathan Barley? No. Nathan Barley is a kind of comedy by Chris Morris, and Olivia, is it Olivia Lovey Bond or Ophelia Lovey Bond? I think she's the actress.
You found it right.
I think it's Lovey Bond something. Yeah. I think it's O something Lovey Bond. But she's very good in this. She's very in it very minimally. She's a very short appearance she makes. But she's very good in her role. But I realised, I was like, what's she from? I realised she's from Nathan Barley. And there's this episode where it's like Nathan Barley was ahead of its time. It's very much this kind of like, he's like this kind of millennial. He's like, he's not even, he calls himself like a multimedia node. Yeah. He's one of these kind of like proper wankers that are like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm a DJ and I've got a phone. And I've got, you know, he's all that.
DJ, I've got a phone. said about the brand.
Yeah, we said about it. And he's got the phone that's actually opens up and it's got like two DJ decks in. It's like, you have to see, it's really, really funny. But it's just about, and it's got the guys from Mighty Boosh in, and it's all about the rise of the idiots. And there's all these Julian Barrett is surrounded just by fucking absolute idiots. Nathan Barley's one of the idiots.
Yeah.
And there's this this photo shoot they do, and it's all about like women doing like really like awful, disgusting things. But they're all like dressed as like in baby gear and, you know, stuff like that. And later on, he tries to sleep with her. And she was like, "Yeah, I'll give you some coke and stuff. And yeah, we'll have a party and what have you." And then he finds out that. He finds out that he's getting a blowjob offer, and he's absolutely made up. He's well acted,
as you should be.
And she's like, he just keeps giving her like cocaine and stuff and money for cocaine. She's so fucked up. She's like, "I'm really fucked up, you know, I'm really fucked up." She's like, "I fuck like a bonobo ape, like a bonobo chimp." Like, she's properly offered tits, and he's getting a blowjob.
You record these podcasts, the shit that you just did then was unreal.
video next time.
I've seen that shake many times.
Nathan Barley is getting this blowjob off the model, and he's like, "Oh, this is great, getting a blowjob." And he gets a call by his friend, and she's like, "Right, don't let her leave. He's like, why? He was like, "She's perfect for my documentary I'm making about people on drugs and stuff." And he's like, why is that? And he was like, she's addicted to cocaine, she's 13. And he goes, it's proper darkly funny. It's really darkly funny. But then he's like, oh my God. And he's like, obviously halfway between enjoying his blowjob and like in absolute horror that the 13-year-old. And it's so darkly funny. But then because initially they say that in this magazine shoot, they say they're 13, but then there's a little disclaimer at the bottom saying, actually, none of these models are 13. They're all 18 years of age or over.
Oh.
His friend's like, I believe that blowjob was off a 13-year-old. I basically take that as being a blowjob for a 13-year-old. And then he goes and she goes and
was he like, "I might as well let her finish"?
I'm pretty sure he just finishes just in absolute horror that he's finished.
Oh,
but he doesn't realize until later that she's all, she's and he was like, there. He was like, yes. It's okay. But then he's worried that his friend, his female friend, is going to tell all of his mates that, you know, he's a pedo. And it's like, to be honest, anything Chris Morris did, Pedageddon as well, like Brass Eye Pedageddon.
Yeah.
You know, all these kind of dark. Jam is so dark. Have you ever watched Jam? It's probably some of the best kind of UK, really dark UK yeah. comedy. But then all of his mates come in and they're like, she's like, he got a blowjob off a 13-year-old. How disgusting. Mm-hmm. All his mates are like, 13, nice. And it's just like, what the fuck? It's really like really messed up, but in a way that's humorous. Like obviously real yeah. life, like things like that wouldn't happen. Like it wouldn't
hilarious
be fucking.
Watch if yeah. you knew these people
though, exactly. Yeah, I'm don't want. Yeah, because they're the idiot. Like Nathan Barley's the idiot character. All the people who think it was cool to be swept up by a 13-year-old are the idiot characters. You know, yeah. all the sane characters. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, life is fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we see that more and more. Yeah, like nowadays, I do think it was ahead of its time. I think it would have been more successful now
yeah.
than it ever would have been. But she's in it, and that's what I recognised her
from. Oh, yeah,
so
we were
bizarre.
Talking about Autopsy.
Yeah, we're talking about Autopsy of Jane Doe. We do forget. Yeah. But yeah, so she was in that, and I was like, oh my God, it's her. I was like, brilliant. But yeah, I was really. You know what I thought she was? I thought she was, like I said, a vampire or a zombie yeah. or something like that. But yeah, I didn't really have much like kind of notes on it. But yeah, I again, like, why do you think that people didn't like it? Like all those people on YouTube are like, it's predictable. It's not very good. I think one person went, it's shite, mate.
Yeah,
so why are they saying these things? Why do you think, like, you know, I know you like it, but kind of put yourself in their shoes. Why do you think people wouldn't like it?
Because they're wrong. No, I can see there's certain parts in it. Like I said, it's not totally original, the horror film.
No.
Like, there are a lot of jump scares where it's loud music and yeah. that's like part of the scare. But I think the slow burn of it might be an issue for a lot of people.
It's a slow burn
and then it really does ramp up towards the end.
Yeah.
I think the sudden shift might have... You know,
it did make me think of a little bit of Dusk Till Dawn, you know, where it's kind of like it's two very different yeah. films. So like there's one where it's like it's an examination, it's science, it's grounded in reality, supernatural,
yeah.
you know, all of a sudden. And which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it does kind of ramp up, like you yeah. say. But yeah, I mean, so let's talk about Jane Doe and the reason she has these...
Yeah.
Her body has these abilities, these powers, you know, to alter things, change things, make things appear
yeah.
when they're not true, you know, illusions and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the reason behind that? So what's the history?
Basically, as they go through the examination, they realise, this certain type of dirt is only found up in the north.
Yeah.
This
it's all right.
For those who can't hear,
we've both had a couple of beers, so we're both a little bit gassy. So it's all right.
Half cup. For the first 20 minutes, Dan just told me he loved me. He's edited it out. Definitely.
Yes. Definitely.
No, what are we talking
secret,
about?
Secret love. We're talking about her powers and why she has her abilities.
They find a flower that's also up from the north. They then find a little sort of, in her intestines, it's found a little sort of burlap sack thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of fabric with yeah. a kind of, there's a seal on it or a symbol yeah. on it.
And they basically narrow it down to the Salem witch trials.
Mm.
And it's revealed... They don't outright say she's a witch.
Yeah.
They say there were no witches. They were like, there was no witches. There were just a bunch of people who were innocently claimed as that.
Mm.
But the idea behind this is that her being put through all the torture and, you know, the witch trials has basically given her these supernatural abilities.
Mm.
So I don't believe.
Yeah. Like, so she wasn't a witch, but after they tortured her and did all these things to her, she basically became.
Yeah, that's how
a symbol of that, or yeah, became.
That's how the reveal looked to me, because it was like, oh, she's been, you know, she's been put through this because people thought she was a witch,
yeah,
and that's made her into, you know, this sort of vengeful, I guess, spirit that lives.
I guess, yeah, kind of trapped within.
Because, I mean. She is alive, and
they kind of they cut into her brain and realize that yes,
the cells are still active.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know, like, they don't delve into the science part of that, which maybe people don't like because, you know, it's very strictly science.
It was science up until that point, really. Well, you know, the examination and the way they examine is, you know, is as far as I know, in regards to coroners, is how you would examine.
I mean, I've not cut up a body for years, but from the looks of it, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
no, I think that might be an issue as well. People up to that point, you know, it's very science forward. But yeah, she's basically alive through it all. And
So she's alive and, you know, and they're responding. She's kind of making things happen because the more they cut into her, the more they hurt her, the more her kind of powers, like the more she does to them.
Yeah. And at first you think it's because you don't, like, she doesn't want them to discover that it's happening.
No.
But it seems more like a retaliation, a response.
Yeah, yeah.
Cause, but then they do try to leave. They try to leave.
They just,
and she keeps her there. I think it's because they've already done the damage.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you are not leaving.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, we should get out. And then the dad's like, yeah, we should fucking leave now.
Let's go.
Because it's just weird. Like, because he's very much, I think the dad's like, he refuses to believe any of the weird shit for quite a while in the film. He's like, this can't be real.
It does get annoying, though. Like, there's characters in horror films where it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, leave the house. Yeah. Down.
Well, that's the thing. I think there's
like when Stop overtly gets there, he's like, no,
it can't be science. I'm a science man. Science. Well, there's always that detractor, isn't there, in every film that's like, Krypton will never explode, you know, and it does. But there's always the
spoiler for anyone who's not read any
super. If you don't know Superman's origin, go read a book.
I said spoiler alerts, but Jane Doe.
Not to Superman's origin. If you don't know Superman's origin, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I think you've got some severe problems.
He was bit by a radioactive news reporter, and he got the powers of a regular man.
Yes, he's so boring. He's so mild-mannered. My power is to be mild-mannered. What does that even mean? Mild-mannered.
Let me hold the door for you.
Is it, like, mild-mannered makes me think that he's like, he's not necessarily bad-mannered, he's not necessarily good-mannered, he's kind of somewhere, he's kind of like somewhere in between.
How are you, Clark? I'm okay.
I'm
fucking yin.
I'm mild. But yeah. It's one of those. It gets annoying. It does get a little bit annoying. Like, it gets to the point where you're thinking, it's something that's not of this. I mean, he starts getting all the kind of Brian Cox's character, Stryker's character, starts getting bruising and weird things. Yeah, and he gets attacked by all these kind of various ghosts and bodies. And are the bodies? Because the bodies seem to kind of come and go, like, quite spectrally, like a ghost. But they are missing from the thing, aren't they? They are missing from the little...
So, at the end of the film, when the... Everyone dies, basically. The son dies, the dad dies, the girlfriend dies, the 13-year-old who was sucking dick dies. That might be very controversial.
Is that the part she played?
Or did I just say that?
No, that's the character she played in Nathan Barley.
Okay, yes.
That's not the character she plays in this. She plays the girlfriend of Emile Hirsch. But yes.
No drugs.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all die.
Yeah.
And you see at the end that they actually push the bodies. Like, they check the... What are they called? Fridges? They're fridges for dead people.
I think there's a name for them, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But go on.
And
the drawers.
They open the drawers.
The body drawers.
And the bodies are all still there.
Yeah.
And I only noticed on my second or third viewing.
Right.
It was that all the damage that was basically done is not due to Jane Doe directly.
Right.
So the cat doesn't get killed by Jane Doe or anything.
No.
The cat gets killed by Brian Cox.
Right.
Okay. Speed Racer's girlfriend, she isn't killed by any demons or anything. She's killed by Brian Cox.
Yeah.
I think the through line is Brian Cox is a murderer. But,
I'd expect that in most films, to be fair.
But then Brian Cox bites it because his son stabs him.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing that's... You know, one of the bodies that's killing them or attacking them.
But he does get those kind of bruises and things. But it looks like he's attacked. He's in that bathroom. He gets one of the bodies grabs him.
Yeah,
there's a few, and like during the smoke.
Yeah,
but there are. They seem to be I don't know if it's a psychological effect of the ghost.
That was my sort of theory on it.
Yeah, because
when you look around at the end scene, you see him. You see Tommy Tilden. I'll start using his name.
Yeah,
Tommy Tilden. He's lying on the floor, and earlier in the film, all the lights explode, so there's glass all over the place. When you look back, there's no glass. There's no fire from when they tried to set her on fire.
Mm.
The place is basically in pristine condition. So all that people would think is when they arrive was, so Tommy, he killed the girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then
and he killed
his son killed his dad.
Yeah.
And he topped himself. And that's also really interesting to me because I want to know what happened in the house before that.
The original family.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't have been cutting up at her, trying to find her.
Have they dug up the body? Have they found the body by digging it up? Or?
So I think that basically they're... Well, it's never explained. No. That's kind of the...
Or they're trying to maybe they're trying to bury it because maybe they found the body. They're trying to bury it because they think maybe if we bury it, the shit might stop happening.
Well, like the film is while they discover more stuff about her, she sort of fights back. So I think the initial uncovering of her, like by the first family, that's them like, oh shit, what's this?
Yeah,
that's her being like, I can't let you guys find anything out. You're dead. What am I doing in a coroner's? No, stop cutting me open. I'm
police,
alive.
Yes. Yeah. Fair enough. Like, if there was, is there any films that you would kind of link it to? You'd say there was in a similar vein, or it reminds you of, or do you think it might have been influenced by any slightly older films, perhaps?
I think The Conjuring definitely, because it came out after The Conjuring, and the director said that he, after watching it, he was like, I want to make a horror film.
Okay.
So there's a lot of sort of like parallels with that. How that I did say earlier, there's a lot of the whole bump and scares, but there is a lot of sort of things you catch in the background.
Yeah, kind of more subtler scares. Yeah. So the more what's the word? Kind of could you go your sustained scares?
Yeah.
So the stuff that kind of creeps you out. When I worked at Alton Towers and we did Scarefest, they always talk about shock scares and sustained scares. So the shock scares would be, you know, the jump scares and the kind of various other things. Sustained scares are more like, you know, you're creepily looking at them from afar and they're like, oh, fuck, you know, but they get kind of chills and freaks them out. But then obviously you could combine them and, you know, you play around with timing, various other things and distance. And it was really interesting to do. It's a really, really cool kind of experimental form of acting that I did. If you're an actor and you want to find a most unique form of acting, I would definitely do a scare maze or something like that.
I always hear like horror stuff, like ironically horror stories, not from actors and people who've done that, who've like, I jumped out a guy and he was so scared he punched me in the face.
Yeah, there's that.
I can't handle getting punched in the face very well.
Well, I had a guy like, we have the security there for reasons.
Yeah.
from the actor's point
of
view.
A real serial killer blocks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you never know that kind of year, you know, that time of year, someone could wear a mask, someone could go in. But yeah, so I had a guy who lifted me off the ground. Not only lifted me off the ground, but grabbed my wrist. He squeezed my wrist that I felt my bones bending. And I totally came out of character and I went, no, get him out. You're not supposed to touch me. I'm allowed to touch you. And we were always told that if you are to touch people, because people have to sign off on it, basically. They go, if you enter this, you know, you will be touched by the actors. But like, not in a creepy or weird way.
They should do that for a lot of film sets.
Yeah. Well, I think they do now. I think after all this kind of, all the palaver and everything, you know, all the horrible instances that, you know, women have gone through and some men have gone through with actors and directors and various other things. Horrible, horrible things. You know, we have to have those kind of things in place. But we would always, the director would always say, it's more like you're playing with your food. It's a gentle thing. And you're obviously, you know, you're not aggressive or violent with your touching. You're like, you know, you're creepy and weird about it. And obviously it's obvious places, you know, where things can't be misconstrued as anything but, you know, acting. So people do get weird though. And you spend like 12 hours down you know, in a dungeon, you know, and very, very, you know, no natural light is ever seen. You've not seen natural light at that time of year because you've been down there so long.
It you're does... just happy to see anyone.
Yeah, to
you're
be
like,
honest.
Oh, you're like, someone, without... hey! Someone not wearing latex.
Yeah. Oh, yay! And then you scare them. But yeah, no, I think the creepier sustained scares in this are really effective.
Yeah.
The jump scares, maybe not so much. Mm. Like, I'm not a fan of fake outs either. Like, yeah. Fake out scares, I'm not, but there wasn't too many in this. I wouldn't put it like in my top 10 kind of horror films I've ever seen or ghost films or, you know. But I think it's generally pretty good. Like, it's got a good, like, if you're looking for that type of film, if you're looking for that type of scare, it's there, and it's available on Netflix. So, you know, take your pick, have a go, have a look, see what you think, listeners. See if you like it as well.
That's kind of also why I picked it, because it's widely available.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone can have a go.
Yeah. If you listen to this and you think I'm, you know, somewhat convincing or not at all, but you think that film sounds good,
give it a go.
Yeah, you know,
I wouldn't say don't watch it. It's not. Yeah. It's not that point where I'm like, oh my god, it's the worst. You know, it's I think some people will get more from it than others.
Yeah.
And some people will enjoy it more. I'd still give it like a, I don't know, three to four stars, 3.5 stars. Mm. You know, I enjoyed the performances. You know, it was creepy. It was weird. It was scary. I like the more scientific aspects, more real aspects of it. I like the ties to the Salem witch trial. And did she have an extra layer of skin when they pull it back? Was that like an extra layer?
I don't know much about bodies. I've got one. I've used one. I haven't peeled.
It gets me about the place.
Yeah, I'm basically just a bit of meat piloting a wanky twat. that's the best way to describe it.
Bit of meat piled into a lanky twat. That's piloting a lanky twat. Yeah. Sorry, that's my favorite. That's my favorite quote of any podcast so far.
they peel back. Like,
yeah, there's like another layer.
I was like, is that just all the skin and then underneath is the muscles?
Because it shows, and when they peel it back, it shows that kind of seal or that symbol of the kind of Salem witch trials that we saw on the bit of paper that was inside her, and the bit of the fabric that was inside her. So I do like that, because I was actually in the Crucible a few years ago, maybe 10 or so years ago now, which was obviously based around the witch trials and stuff. So I had a bit of kind of not that much experience or not that much knowledge of it, but a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I remember I played there's a video game called, I think it's Soul Suspect, I think. And it's like, and you play like a ghost detective, and it turns out, and it's set in Salem, and there's all this kind of history. And I think the main villain is Abigail, who's like one of the main kind of parts of the Salem witch trials at the time. Yeah. So that was really interesting. But I do like that. I mean, it wasn't what I expected, which I liked. It wasn't like, oh, she's a vampire, or she's a ghost.
Yeah.
She's a zombie, or she's, you know. So I like that kind of, you know, and it wasn't like she was like, I am now a witch. Yeah. She didn't have a crooked nose or anything. It wasn't like, you know,
doesn't like cats the same way witches do.
No, of course not. No. I I'm glad it didn't go all hocus pocus on us. I'm really glad, because it's creepier to have that, you know, that entirely, you know, that pure, because I mean the, you know, the whole aspect of the kind of white,
the paleness, the imagery of it,
like, you know, it conjures up ghosts, but it also conjures up, you know, like marriage and virginity and purity, you know, and which she was, you know, which she was tortured, and again, they did it by mistake, you know, they did this, they said, oh, she wasn't a witch, and, you know, it was just kids playing around, which was, you know, in fact true, and, you know, kicked off all that horrible stuff. But again, that brings the character to life for me. Again, she is a soulless, dead body.
Yeah.
But that performance that she gives, again, she doesn't do much. But like you said, to do nothing takes a lot of concentration, a lot of work. But then every face she pulls and every, like, expression she gives is like, you know, those first few expressions we see of it is this helpless, you know, this poor woman, you know, we're looking at her, you know, she's damaged, her tongue was cut out.
Yeah.
You know, she's had, obviously had, you know, vaginal, you know,
lacerations. She's had all these like burnt lungs. Mm. You know, the list goes on, all the kind of atrocities that are committed to her. You know, I don't know at the time or, you know, since then, how many of these families has this body been through, and, you know,
yeah,
and these things have happened. We don't know. But yeah, I think that the innocence of the character, but then later on, she becomes, when she becomes a menacing, yeah, evil threat, you kind of see this creepy smile and the kind of, and like, again, it's not like a blatant creepy smile. It's not like, you know, like Joker grin or anything. It's
again,
just a kind of.
You could record this because that.
I'm very expressive. I'm very expressive, but.
Whatever face you thought because of the noise, right? Right.
Yeah. I did that exactly.
That one.
That face. I think the noises are very telling of the kind of faces I'm pulling. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting character, and a really, again, she's my favorite character in the entire thing. I think, you know, she's the most interesting. She's got the most, and again, like, a lot of emotional depth, and you do feel bad for her and you do feel sorry for her. You know, because again, from the get go, you're supposed to feel sorry because she's had, you know, all these horrible atrocities done to her and these horrible things done to her body. You know, inexplicably unexplained things to her body. You know, they can't figure it out. But yes, truly fascinating. That, again, like, she's the star of the show. She's you know, title character. And that aspect, I thought, was one of the stronger aspects of the film.
Yeah. I hope the actress does some more stuff soon.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
Unless she's only just good at playing
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Well, there's certain actors out there that are like, I'll only play, like, a CIA officer or a priest or, you know, whatever.
They should do an episode of CSI where Jane Doe gets brought in.
Yeah. Ooh, crossover.
They'll be like, she's so still. How does she do it?
And then they all just die. That should be the last episode of CSI. That should be the last. That they get one. Imagine that. Imagine that. Some, like, I do like the certain things where it's like a weird crossover, or like that you don't know that these universes. I think apparently, like, Collateral and the Transporter movies are connected because Jason Statham comes in, drops a bag off, and he picks it up. But they, like, you know,
from Mr. Sunbury.
No. I read it
Mr.
online.
Sunday,
but yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Mr. Sunday. Well, go on, Mr. Sunday. Yeah, if he's spotted that as well. But like, apparently, like, other things like Night of the Creeps and Monster Squad, they're linked, and they're not necessarily.
It's always just good when they do a crossover and they're like, fuck it, yeah, they're in the same world.
Why not? Yeah. I mean, that's some of the Universal Monsters and stuff would do. But yeah, there's more subtler kind of crossovers I quite enjoy. Mm. But yeah, I'd like, what's up? Well, I just want to look at the time now, make sure we're not running over. I don't think we are. No, we've got some time. So what I would like to do next, what I try and do with each Secret Defenders is I basically make a list. I have a list, a test, if you will, a cult film test. I kind of apply it to the film in question, the film you brought in. So we're going to go through 71 questions, quite a few, but we can blitz through that. I just want you to keep count of the score, if you can, especially if you can. So I'm gonna.
Right, go.
So I want you to answer the questions, and we'll both answer them. So it's fine, and we'll find out whether we think this is a cult film or not. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So number one, does it feature excessive violence?
Ooh, like I said earlier, there's a lot of gore in it, but that's more geared towards the autopsy aspect.
Yeah. I mean, there's the axe death.
Yeah, but even then, it's just kind of that, blood. Yeah. But it's not. You don't really see the cut.
No, it's quite restrained in that way.
Yeah.
So are we going to say no?
But then again, a lot of the autopsies are very visceral, and you really do feel it. And that's also a lot down to the sound design of it.
True.
Which really helps. Yeah. But, now, you know what? I'll agree with you. It's not really that good.
No, I don't. I think if I'm thinking like splatter films, you know.
Like, yeah, like not in the same sense.
No, like I'm thinking like a Brain Dead or a kind of, you know, Hellraiser, those kind of big, like, you know, everything's going. But I wouldn't say it's that. I wouldn't say it's excessive.
Yeah.
Does it feature buckets of blood?
Ooh.
There's a bit of blood, but I wouldn't say, again, I think it's quite tame in that regard.
There's one bucket
of that blood, but I wouldn't say it's more than a bucket, probably, in regards to, you know, it's not good, like we said, like these splatter films, is not that
kind of excess of blood. Does it? Now, this one I think is a big yes. Does it feature? Well, I don't know. It's I've phrased it in this way. Does it feature gratuitous nudity? So I think the gratuity is quite. Yeah. Would you say it's the? I mean, would you say it's too much?
No,
regards to gratuitous.
I wouldn't say it's like too much. It's just like I said, if you're a bit uncomfortable by that,
yeah,
then, you know. Sure, maybe don't watch it.
Yeah, if you're uncomfortable with a film that has a naked woman in it or a dead naked woman, this is not the film for you. She's entirely nude. There's many films
with alive naked women you can watch. They're great.
Exactly. I'm sure they're all very good.
If you type alive naked women, there's a litany of results.
I mean, if you just type in naked women, just naked women.
You don't even have to say alive.
You'll find a lot of things on the internet.
Yeah.
I'd agree. I don't think it's gratuitous. I think it's there.
Yeah.
It's present, but I think it's respectful. It's not.
I think gratuitous is more like you don't really need to have the naked person in
it. No, exactly. But I think in regards to the subject matter and what it's about. She would be naked.
Yeah,
realistically, but it's not. Again, it's not like she's flopping about or gyrating. It's not Showgirls, is it?
No.
That is gratuitous, isn't it?
That's for the sequel. She's finally back. She's broken.
Jane Doe.
Who's the other guy who plays Stryker?
Oh God, there's a few.
He's in it.
Do you mean the Wolverine Origins? That one, Danny Houston.
Yes, Danny Houston.
The guy in Wonder Woman, he's in Wonder Woman as well.
She breaks his wrists, comes back, she does a gyrate, everything's happy.
There you go. Does it feature over-the-top acting?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think the actors are very,
it's quite realistically done.
It's not a horror film where I think, to me, it's not like, oh, it's so bad, it's good.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Does it feature, so that's zero so far. Does it feature a ludicrous premise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's ludicrous.
I'd say so.
So that's one. Does it feature an experienced elder actor?
Yeah.
I'd say Brian Cox is that. Does it feature quotable dialogue?
You know what? Besides the very first line where he says, "Looks like we got a Jane Doe."
Yeah, it's kind of.
Something along those lines. Well, that proves it. It's
not quotable because we can't think of any quotes. Yeah. So still two. Does it feature a martial arts display?
No, it doesn't.
Does it feature gunplay?
No.
No. Does it feature a professional sport?
I don't know. I stopped to think now. It does not.
I've really got to think about that. Does it feature body swapping in the most traditional sense?
No.
No. No. Fair enough.
Not traditional.
Not traditional at all. There's no body swapping.
Not traditional.
The traditional body swapping. I mean, kind of a la kind of Freaky Friday kind of thing. So, does it feature smart characters making stupid decisions?
Like I said, up to a point, it feels like he's ignoring a lot of the stuff. But then when something overtly
supernatural happens,
he's like, right, no.
No,
like,
it's time to,
you can play off anything as the radio just
kind of. Oh, this is freaking! Oh, the storm! It's the storm! Yeah. It's that! It's this! Yeah. So it's on two. Does it feature the non-threatening made threatening?
Yes.
Would you consider a dead body non-threatening?
Yes, especially like in the film itself as well. It starts off; she's very non-threatening, but the more
she's quite an innocent as well. She's quite like, from what we know, she's an innocent victim. So she is non-threatening, and she's dead.
Yeah,
and that's
And it's like the more that you see her, the more you're like, oh no, this is terrifying. Like the last part where he's looking into Jane Doe's eyes.
Yeah.
That was freaky. I didn't like them hanging on her face that long.
Does it feature machismo?
Hmm?
Machismo. So kind of like men being men, masculine, toxic masculinity. Mm. No, I don't think it does. No. Does it feature dance choreography?
Nope.
Does it feature a metric ton of drugs?
No.
Does it feature pseudoscience? So kind of like Frankenstein or something like that. So not real science, not sciencey science.
No, the real science, it seems very accurate.
Yeah, fair enough. Does it feature a post-apocalyptic world?
Maybe, though. the outside world's just wrecked.
Well, yeah, from that storm.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Or
say
every person in the world ends up with the body and they're all dead.
Is an interesting one. Does it feature sexual fetishes?
Depends how weird you are.
Yeah, I think it depends on the person who's watching.
Yeah.
If you're a bit, if you're into that, you're a bit weird. You're a bit you're a bit bloody weird. Does it feature a diverse cast?
Not really. No. It's
it's pretty white.
Yeah.
Even Jane Doe is as white as you get.
Yeah, they're all white. There's only two women. One of them says nothing.
Yeah, one of them says nothing. The other one has a scene, and then the other scene is her being murdered. Yeah. So I'd argue it is not diverse. Does it feature a heist?
No.
Does it feature a montage?
Yeah, the beginning. They have a little montage. It's not a full, like, you know.
Oh, when they're doing the first body.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that. Four.
Yeah.
Does it feature Cold War politics?
I don't think so. No.
Does it feature a grizzled cop?
No.
No. Does it feature a conspiracy?
Kind of. I mean,
more of a secret, not, really.
Yeah.
Does it feature a resurrection?
Ooh. Her
eyes clear and her toe wiggles.
Yeah.
And that says to me she's alive. I mean, she's not dead. Technically, she's not dead, is she? So.
Yeah. And the way you look at it with the other character, like the other characters in it, like I said, you don't see them just sort of littered about the place at the end. Yeah. They are in the fridges.
Yeah.
So you could argue that's all in their mind.
Yeah.
But
What do you want to say? I'm going to say...
Let's say yes, because it's...
Let's say yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. So we're on five. Does it feature an unconventional love story?
Nah.
Does it feature...
No one's fallen in love with Jane Doe.
No, and, you know, the love story that was in it is fairly conventional.
Yeah.
Does it feature sports cars?
No.
Does it feature little people?
What list is this?
This is the list I've made to compile cult films, and I think certain cult films
apply to a lot of them.
Not so far. So no little people. Does it feature an animal in a starring role?
No, there's a dead cat, but that's not really.
Yeah, it's
starring.
Not really starring. Yeah. I was pretty sad when the cat died, to be honest.
Is it Samuel? I'm pretty sure.
I think it was Samuel or something like that. Stanley? I think it was Stanley.
Yes. Stanley.
Does it feature a strong female lead?
No. She also features a dead female lead.
Yeah. Does it feature a noir-like narration?
No.
Does it feature Japanese weaponry?
No.
Does it feature creepy children?
Creepy singing, yeah.
That are sung by children, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's say yeah. Let's say yeah.
Yeah.
So that's six. Does it feature bullies?
No.
Does it feature Nazi-themed anything?
No.
Does it feature a trending fad at the time, like skateboarding or Beyblades?
You have to dig at my Beyblade.
No.
Pokemon?
No.
Apart from the horror tropes that you'd find in that time, I wouldn't say there's a lot of that.
No. Does it feature LGBT content?
No.
Does it feature body horror?
Yes, I'd say that it was, well...
I mean, when I think body horror, I think like The Fly, like the transforming, grotesque, kind of things are changing.
And you more feel with those films what the characters...
I feel like there's more transformation involved as well. Yeah. I think there's more, it has to be some sort of like your body is dissolving.
I don't think you can just count as being cut open. Because we all look like that on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, minus the seals and stuff. And all that. Does it feature an idiot character? We're on six so far. Six. I'm keeping track.
Nah.
Does it feature punk, rock, or rap music?
I guess a bit of rock.
Country rock, yeah. Seven. Does it feature a celebrity cameo?
Nah.
Does it feature supernatural powers?
Yeah.
Yes. Eight. Does it feature time travel?
No.
Does it feature space travel?
No.
Does it feature an exorcism?
No.
Does it feature child protagonists?
No.
Does it feature nerds?
I guess. I mean, look at
coroner nerds.
Fucking nerds.
Dead mortician nerds. Dead body nerds.
Yeah, the Undertaker just come.
He did get the book out. He did get the book out that had the plants in.
Yeah.
Was that nine? We're on nine now?
Nine.
Does it feature the military?
No.
Does it feature a crazed killer?
No.
Does it feature a vigilante?
Nah. I was going to try and argue the point. Maybe she's like, hey.
Maybe she's like, nah. Having, yeah. Does it feature...
She's just a dead body in the street.
Dead woman. It's like DC's dead man, but dead woman.
But just stiller.
Yeah. Does it feature cults?
No.
Aliens?
No.
Vampires?
No.
Zombies? She's alive.
If we're going traditional sense... Yes.
No, that's it. Wizards?
It's a witch.
I think that's coming up.
Oh.
Mythical creatures.
Still on nine. There's a woman. There's a woman in it.
A woman is not a mythical creature.
Well, how many have you seen recently?
Not in this room, none.
Oh, come on. Aaron. We'll keep it light. But same in your
room. Mutants?
No.
Ghosts?
Kind of, maybe.
I'll give you ghosts.
Yeah.
10. Robots.
No.
Demons.
No. I saw a theory that people were saying that she was the devil herself.
Okay.
And I kind of like it. Because
that's an interesting fan theory. Yeah.
In the end, he gives in to the devil, but I don't think it's overtly that now.
Does it feature witches?
Yes.
She is a witch indeed. Does it feature...
Although, she's not.
No, she's not really. But they said they created a witch, didn't they?
Mm, yeah.
They created the thing that they were trying to kill.
She's a witch.
So I'd argue she's a witch.
Yeah.
Let's say she's a witch.
Yeah.
Kaiju, so giant monsters.
No.
Monsters in general.
Nope.
Apes.
Brian Cox can't. No.
He's a fine actor. He's not an ape.
He's a fine actor. He's not an ape.
Samurai.
No.
Ninjas.
Brian Cox can't. No.
Ninjas. No.
No.
Gangsters.
Nope.
Vincent Price.
No.
Samuel Jackson.
Does Brian Cox count?
Brian Cox is not the answer to everything. He's still on 10.
So that's a religion.
Samuel Jackson.
No.
And finally, does it feature Nick Cage? It doesn't. So that
Brian Cox doesn't
that was 10
yeah.
out of a possible 71. So I'm going to say it's not a cult film.
No.
It's not a cult film. Fair enough. Like I hope one day that I find a film that at least gets us over 50. Because at the moment, the last two we've done, I think we're both under the 30s, I think. So I'm interested to see if I can find a film that's so cult, that's so grindhouse, that's so... That.
I'll tell you, if I find one, I'll call you.
Please do. Yeah. Please do.
I want to see a film where there's Japanese
ninja sexual fetishes. Samuel Jackson.
Fetishes. Sorry, Nicolas Cage. And Brian Cox.
Featuring a heist. Well, I think we have come to the end of our journey. This has been quite interesting. I'd like discussing this with you. Mm. I'd like you back on if you can think of any other films.
Definitely.
Or
if I find that freak of a film.
Yeah.
we'll get the next
freaky film. No, I'm. I do a lot of other kind of segments and various other things. If you just want to come on and discuss stuff, you have any ideas, come back. Mm-hmm. So, guys, before we go, I'm just going to let you know where you can find me on the various social media platforms that we have in this day and age of technology and interconnectivity that we have. So you can find me on Facebook if you put in the search bar at Secret Boars. That's all in one word. On Twitter, if you put in at Dan_Boars. And the podcast is available on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, and now YouTube.
Ooh.
And also Stitcher, Podchaser, you name it. All the other kind of podcasting websites, podcast.com, I think, is one. Just Google me. I think I'm all, if you just Google Spider-Man the Secret Balls, I'm all on that first page. That's all me. I own that Google page. So I'm not paid for it. I'm not paid for it. It's all free. But yeah, Podbean's the main one, really, I'd say. I think most people use, but many, many platforms to find us on. Thank you very much, George, for coming in. You have been a delight.
It's been pretty fun.
Thank you for not being a necrophile as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just try.
You try really hard, don't you? You try, you fight those.
Well, not that hard. I don't want people thinking I'm walking around like, oh, if only
I had a dead body, what could I do with it? No, George is a lovely fella.
And if I wanted a dead body, I could get hold of one very easily.
Sure you could. All jokes aside, it's really good discussing everything. So I'll leave it there. So take care, boar mongers, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.